Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to speak with Jennifer Perry. She's a writer and entertainer. She's also the owner of Lone Wolf Communications, which is a PR firm. She wrote a book called Promote This, DIY Publicity for Authors. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here, Sherry. Very excited.
Yeah, me too. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. You know, I've been a follower and fan of yours for years now, so, yes, it feels pretty cool to be on. A little nervous, but, yeah.
Well, we're really happy to have you. And for those people who don't know about you, why don't you tell a little bit about your background?
See, well, I'm a native Atlantan, but there's not many native Atlantans in Atlanta anymore. And I... It's true. And
sounds like L.A.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot like L.A., especially traffic-wise and with, you know, movies being made there. But it's fun. I'm an entertainer. I've had a jazz band for several years, and I even had a TV, you know, a local TV show back in the late 90s in Atlanta where I had a lot of, mostly a lot of musical talent on. And let's see, then I went to, got my degree kind of late in life, so to study PR, and I just feel like I had so many, the way Promote This came about was that I had so many people who I felt, you know, you and I both see a lot of writers who take advantage of the miracle that is being able to self-publish, find these wonderful small presses, and don't plan ahead for publicity, and then when the book comes out and they're freaked out that no one knows about it or buys it or cares about it, and then they're trying to scramble to get it. So I thought if I could teach people how to do it, and they go, well, I'll put my money in this, I can't afford a publicist. So I teach them some things to do. So especially I like having the webinars to do it. But the other thing is, yeah, I've had a jazz band around Atlanta for a while, and I've done some stand-up comedy, mostly because when I was growing up, Sherry, I was the kid that, you know, and I've never talked about this much until recently, but I was the kid where they said, you know, you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. And everybody reminded me of it every day in school, just in case I forgot it from the day before. Every school has one kid that's the kid for everybody to pick on, and that was me. So I was always shy, just terrified of everything. And then one day, I think it was my 40th birthday, I had a bad car accident, and I thought, okay, if I die today, what I want, how would my obituary read? Thought, you know, I'm going to do everything now from now on. Once I get well, I'm going to do everything that I was afraid to do before. And that's what I did. So I just started taking charge and saying, well, that was then and this is now. And now I'm going to do the stuff I wanted to do that I was afraid. So that's when I started started working on TV shows as a volunteer. And then I got my own cable show and then I began, but to get my nerve to do it, because I was a kid, I couldn't even answer the role in class because I was shy and because everybody would make fun of me anyway. So I took a class in stand-up comedy to get the nerve to talk to people. Hmm. And did that with a little crowd of people. I mean, we were a little group of comics, and we went from club to club as a group pretty much and met up and did our comedy. And sometimes people laugh, sometimes they didn't, sometimes they groan, sometimes they liked it. So that's how I got over the nerves and the shyness. And then started singing a little bit. So then, yeah, so it was kind of like a late life transformation. I'm a late bloomer. I am the latest bloomer you'll ever meet.
I mean, I understand because I wanted to be an actress. Well, I am an actress when I was a young girl, but I was shy. I still am shy. I call it my force field personality. I pretend to be all calm, put a little force field out there in front of me with a fake, well, not a fake smile. It's a real smile, but it's my force field smile. It's what I call it. It's my protection.
And, I like that.
And I mean, I understand where you're coming from, because my daddy introduced me to my first acting teacher. Hi, this is my shy actress. I mean, that's just me.
Oh. But he said actress, and that's important, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad was very proud of everything I did. And in fact, he took me to... Even when I was old enough to drive myself, he insisted on driving me to every audition. Even when I went to see women directors and agents and stuff, he still took me because he just was trying to protect me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I had a good daddy.
That's a good foundation.
Yeah, so I
but
understand
don't you find,
where you're coming from.
But you as an actress, you know, and I knew when I first learned of you, as a radio show host, to interview an author, and then I learned that you were also an actor and had been for some time. Don't you always find, and you read too in biographies about, you know, successful people, that so many performers will say that, you know, they were always the shy one, and they create, I like your force field. I like that. But so many actors do say that, and people will sometimes say, oh, they were so quiet in school, we didn't even know. I never thought they'd do this.
Yeah, I mean, years and years ago, my mother was at a play, and there was a very famous character actress named Martha. Oh, my God, I blanked out. Martha. She was in everything. Martha Ray, who they called the mouse.
I love her. Yeah.
Yeah. They called her the mouse because she was
the mouse
so loud.
Or the big mouse.
Yeah, and she was so quiet and shy. My mom could hardly hear her, and she asked her very politely for not. She goes, "Of course, dear."
Aww.
I mean, complete opposite. I mean, and I actually experienced something like that myself. I was in a show called The Golden Girls back in the 90s, and Bea Arthur is a total quintessential opposite of everything I expected. She's shy, she's retiring, she's afraid. She was completely different than what I expected.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Yeah, everybody else, Betty and Rue, Estelle, they were all the same, exactly what you expect. Totally the same. But B was so shy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you never
know. That's amazing. Well, that's true. Well, what would they like to be around? I mean, Betty White. You know, everybody loves Betty White.
Oh, my God. Oh, and she's the nicest lady. She's exactly like she is in an interview. She's the nicest lady I've ever met. I told her when I was in high school, there was a group at the time, Doris Day started it, called Actors and Others for Animals, and me and a couple of my girlfriends started Actors and Others for Animals high school level in my school. And so we would rescue dogs and stuff like that, and cats and birds, anything. And I told Betty about it. She goes, oh, my dear, and she gave me this huge hug. We were on a break. and I was like, and she goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. That was my entire interaction off camera with her, but I always remembered it because it was my opportunity just to let her know what an influence she was in my life.
And you know what? That's exactly what I thought when I thought about when you said, you know, you and the Golden Girls. I kept thinking, okay, there had to be an instant connection between you and Betty White because of not being just acting, but also because of your love for both of you, such a love for animals. I thought, okay, there's got to have been instant connection.
Yeah, she was so sweet. She's just the nicest, friendliest person. Rue was so wonderful. I mean, everybody was great. It was a wonderful set.
Now, because
of
Rue's character on the show, because of the character of Blanche, did you think that all of us Southern gals would be like that?
No, because actually Rue wasn't anything like that. First of all, I don't think Rue is Southern. I think she put it on because I had seen her in Maude before, and she wasn't Southern in Maude. So I knew
That's
she wasn't
true.
Southern. But she was funny. I my I talked to her a couple times, but the one that sticks in my mind was when we were waiting for the catering, and it was breakfast. It was like 2 days before the show. We were there was like they always give you breakfast in on the set on a table, and there were bagels, and there was cream cheese, but there was no lox. No, there was lox and there was bagels, but there was no cream cheese. That was what it was. And she goes, how bleep, bleep, bleep can we eat lox and bagels without bleep, bleep, bleep cream cheese?
That's funny.
Well, you know what the bleep, bleep, bleep is for.
Yeah.
I don't have to fill it in. But she was so, I just cracked up. She goes, and she puts her arm around, honey, I know what you're thinking, the same thing. And I go, I am.
Bleep, bleep and all, yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was so funny.
And what about Estelle Getty? What was she like?
I didn't talk to her very much. She was very quiet. She was pretty much like Beep. She was very, very quiet. She stayed in her trailer a lot. So I didn't get to talk
so much
to her.
Fun.
It was.
What
it
were
was
your
one
other,
of my best shows.
Would you mind telling me some of your other favorite experiences as an actress?
This must be about you, Jen.
Okay, but just, I just find you so fascinating in everything you've done. Okay. Just one.
Pick one. Gosh. There's so many of them. My first real part that I had a word was in Breathless, which was with Richard Gere. That was the sentence. My first one where I had a word was Thursday's Child with Rob Lowe. That was really neat because that was four different locations and like 2 weeks shooting. That was like best one of the best parts, even though I only said no. but Jenna Rollins was such a nice lady. I spent about 20 minutes talking to her outside her trailer. She's just nicest, friendliest lady. She played the mother in the movie.
Okay.
Rob Lowe was really cute even then. That was like one of his first major parts. I think that was his first lead in a TV movie.
Oh, really? Because I can't even remember that movie.
Yeah, it's a Hallmark movie, and it's one of the one few that they never reshow. And I'd love for them to reshow it because I want to get it on my DVR to see if my part is in there. I was a student when he was in the school. He asked what time it was it some time, and we all yelled no. So I got my card from that. Thank you very much, Hallmark. I always wondered because it was in the original broadcast, but I always wondered if it was cut in the rerun, but they never rerun it. So,
don't
know.
No. Oh my.
That
must have been fun.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of stories from it's in my book when I ever get to the thing finished. Sorry, listeners, I didn't mean to say damn. I guess
we
we're
are
allowed
just
to say that.
Of course. You're a grown up. You do a great show. You can say that.
Yeah. That's why beep, 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 poor Roo.
Yeah, really?
Well, Roo was funny. She had a mouth. She was hilarious. So she said what she thought. I really respected that. And she was a wonderful actress.
She just sounds as a force of nature.
She was. You knew her and Betty, when they were on, you knew.
And
they were
amazing. Really,
and Bea Arthur was really, when she was on, forget it. She wiped everybody out. I mean, when all these ladies, all four of them were on, they were on.
I love it. You know, I had a client who wrote a book based on the Betty White character on there, Rose, and we had such big events for it in gay bars. And I wonder, she has such a, still has such a strong gay following today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wonder why that is. I mean, I think it's cool, but I just wonder why it is that with all the Golden Girls.
Because they're strong women, and gay people really relate to strong. I mean, that's gone back for a long, long time. I mean, one of the big gay icons was Mae West. I mean, it goes all the way back. Strong female characters always have been. I'm not really sure why, to be honest, but it's always been that way. I respect that. That's, they love the strong lady, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I guess
I love a strong lady.
Yeah, the fact that they, they were strong in their character on stages and in their own life. They had convictions for which they stood up, and whether it be for animal rights, civil rights, or women's rights, they always stood with their convictions very strongly, and and even their own rights as women. With certain kinds of freedoms that women hadn't been, that had been looked down on before. These even care about their own sexuality or whatever. So,
well, the funny thing is that somebody who you didn't know, I mean, she was always an equal rights and all kinds, but I didn't know she was gay rights until she rode in the gay pride parade. It was Elizabeth Montgomery when she stood up with Dick Sargent when he came out. It was Dick Sargent.
Oh.
I always get the two mixed up. Yeah, it was Dick Sargent. When he came out, and she rode in the gay pride parade with him to support him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's great pictures of the two of them. I remember when it happened, but there's some great pictures that was popping up on my Facebook page and showing the two of them riding on the car together.
Oh.
They were on top of the car, I think. You know how they do, like, on the Christmas parade? When they ride on the back of the car and they're kind of sitting up on top of the seat.
Yeah. Just your standard parade car riding,
yeah,
sitting up on the back of the back seat.
I've never been in a parade, but I've been to enough that I've seen it.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Elizabeth Montgomery, yeah. I miss her,
she
too.
She was amazing. I'm also a Bewitched devotee, so.
I love them. I loved her. Yeah, that's another strong woman.
No, yeah, she was very, people don't realize because she was a little housewife. Well, she was a little housewife that, like, Lucy got around her husband all the time.
Well, yeah, but then you think, too, when she was the housewife, like I remember, again, there were episodes where the other wives would come around that would be very snobby about, oh, I remember this one. Who is your couturier? Who makes your clothes?
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes, because I have two. Yeah, Sears and Roebuck.
That was a great line.
Yeah,
That was the burning oak one where she just tore those snobs apart and showed that every single one of them had a iffy background. Oh, I love that episode.
Yeah, that was it. She had, power. She used her powers for good, but even without using her witch powers, she would still stand up, wouldn't put up with snobbery and things.
Well, it's funny because it was sort of like Xena in a way, because Xena always said brains before weapons. Well, Samantha always said brains before witchcraft. I mean, it's a really powerful and good message. Always use your brains first. You don't need to use weaponry if you use your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world should learn that.
Exactly. I'm glad you reminded me of those phrases. Yeah, because those are very powerful and so true, so accurate. It's can work out much better that way if you take the time to do it.
Yeah.
And to concentrate on that.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you think about it, 9 times out of 10, she didn't use her witchcraft. She used her brains. She used her witchcraft a little bit, like when she, used her brain, said, well, we'll put the ad in even if we don't have permission to do it because it's really good and he really believes in it. But she has to do a little twitch to get it into the newspaper.
That's true. Absolutely. Wow. That's interesting. That's it. And the thing, that was back in the 60s, too. You know,
mm-hmm.
when
yeah.
they had to be
so
subtle.
It was a hidden agenda. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, come on, back then, I think Bewitched was the first one where the husband and wife could sleep in the same bed, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely right.
Because if you look at the other shows before it, they all slept in double beds. It's ridiculous. They had children. How do you think they got together? Stupid people.
The Hays office or whatever, the censorship. You know, like, God forbid people think a married couple slept together, you know.
I know.
Ooh.
I know. It's so stupid. They found ways to get around it, but, like, I think on even way back in the 30s, because that was the beginning of it, that the man had to have his feet on the ground and he kissed the woman, they couldn't be on the same couch together. And so what they had was, like, and to catch a thief, they had fireworks that said, they're having sex.
Fireworks, train going through a tunnel,
A train crashing into it, two trains crashing into each other.
Yeah.
Whatever they had to do to say, they are having sex. Even in, there was this episode of Star Trek where Kirk and a woman obviously had sex, but the only way that you could symbol it was he was pulling his boots on and she was brushing her hair.
I've forgotten that. But I know they even did the fireworks and the train and the tunnel thing in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
But that was a takeoff.
yeah, exactly. That's like a joke, like their version or takeoff on it. Like, okay, let's throw in this too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like if there's a scene in To Catch a Thief with Grace Kelly and Cary Grant, and she's seducing him. And he's kissing her, and she's going back on the couch, and he's kissing. And all of a sudden, there's fireworks because they're supposed to be in Monte Carlo. And I'm like, gee, I wonder what they're doing. And then the next thing, her hair is messed up, and he's in his room straightening his tie, looking out the window. Gee, I wonder what they did.
In Monte Carlo, you think they'd at least have, like, the jackpot, like somebody hitting all sevens or something.
Yeah. They did have a funny scene in the casino. I don't know if you ever saw the movie.
Which movie?
But To Catch a Thief? Cary Grant, Grace Kelly?
Oh, yes.
Hitchcock?
Yes.
He wants to meet Grace Kelly and her mother, Jessie Royce. Jessie Royce Hill, I think her name was. And so he took one of his chips, it was like a 1,000 plank chip, and he dumped it into some girl's cleavage that was in front of him. So she would go, ah! And he tried to explain to her, because he pretended not to speak French, which he did, that it was a 1,000 plank chip, and so she gave him the money in chips, and he goes, I'll trust you, I won't count it.
I've forgotten that part.
It's like there's a lot of sexual innuendo without doing anything sexual because they have
And you know what? Sometimes that's
it's
good.
Better.
Sometimes that's even better. Sometimes it's much more fun.
Yeah.
More intriguing, I think.
Well, I didn't realize about, I actually was pretty innocent. I didn't realize about the sex until I took a film class and my professor explained it. I went, oh!
I think that's so funny. I think you're such a great, I think that's one of my other favorite things I've learned about you recently is that you're such a great historian of pop culture and films and television.
Well, unofficial. Unofficial.
You're a what?
Unofficial. Because I'm not really a historian, but I just have this, weird memory. I remember every movie and TV show I ever saw.
Oh, it's your photographic memory, then.
It's not I guess it is in a way, because, like, if you ask me about an episode of MASH that I loved, I can tell you every scene. I know every part of To Get Your Thief, I know all the lines. I could recite it with them. Because it's one of my favorite movies.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's a weird quirk of my personality.
I've only got one or two. I think one is Auntie Mame, and that might be about all.
Oh, I love Auntie Mame. It's one of my favorites. It was Rosalind Russell.
Really?
That is
the best one. In fact,
about
3 years ago, you've heard of the Ignite speeches. They're kind of like TED Talks, but you have exact 20 minutes, and you have to have so many slides, or maybe something like 10 or 15 minutes and an X number of slides that you have to show to give a talk. But it's like TED, though. You have to educate. You can't be trying to sell. You got to educate or inspire or entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an Ignite speech in Asheville, North Carolina, and the topic was Life Lessons Learned from Auntie Mame.
That's
the thing. And I was surprised so many people, you know, didn't know.
Oh, my God.
Who she was, whatever. So I thought, okay, I'm on a mission. I'm on a definite mission. And so, yeah, and of course, at the very end, I had everybody at the end say the line, life is a banquet. But, of course, I didn't win. I think I came in last place because everybody else, you know, lived in Asheville and had lots and lots of supporters there to vote for them. But, you know, I had a good time, and I was glad I did it.
It's funny because... Auntie Mame's, it's like her philosophy of life is just, it's today, it would be considered tame because it was so honorable. Really,
yeah,
even though it was
point.
Considered wild in the 50s, it would be considered tame today.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, you're right. But she just... But she has such an open, you know, but then again, Auntie Mame is such an open heart for all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it opens with her party and other people, she's just very, you know, open-hearted and just curious about the world.
I loved it. She was one of my favorite movies. I remember a lot of the dialogue. I was thinking about that when you were talking about it. I was like, God, you know, one of my favorite new shows that I love is from Australia. It's called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. I think Franny is a lot like Mame.
Yes. Yeah.
I really do.
I never thought about it like that. And kind of the same time period in some parts, but or close to it. But I love Franny Fisher.
Oh, my God. I love Franny Fisher. God. And I love Jack Robinson.
Yes.
It's hard not to love Jack Robinson.
Oh, gosh, I know. But what a fantastic show.
Yeah.
It's just,
but,
and it's just done so
much
well.
Like, Franny's so much like Mame, really, if you think about it. She just takes it another step.
Yeah, because, and, you know, you see her, she is in charge of her own life, but then she also, you know, her gentleman, she doesn't flaunt her sex life by any means.
No,
and
she's honorable because she never does it with a married man or anybody who's taken. She only does it with single men.
Mm-hmm.
So she's very honorable. I don't mean honorable like her title. I mean she has honor in her heart.
Yes, exactly. And so she's
fantastic. She likes other women, and she supports women.
Yes. And that's an odd thing to find any time, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people talk about, you know, sisterhood and friendship and women support, but that's something I think people, you know, I don't know. I've never experienced a whole lot of it. And I think that's one thing that's nice to say, but to find somebody that actually practices it is cool, and
yeah.
That character does. Oh, I love this
picture.
She
does. She's so wonderful. Believe it or not, Jennifer, we're at the end of our time.
No!
Yeah. I'm sorry. It was like we should have been talking about your book and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, I am so
please let anybody know about really quick
okay.
Very quick,
I have,
in a very quick sentence, what's going on.
All right. I have a webinar called DIY Promote This DIY Publicity for Authors, and you can come on there and come to it. It's just like about 2 or 3 hours. It's a teleseminar, and I can teach you all kind of basics to get you set up to promote your own books. And right now, there's an early bird cost and then a regular cost. Right now, if you go find it on Eventbrite, Promote This, DIY Publicity for Authors, if you go in there to register and you enter this code, Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-I, like our very own Sherry here, Sherry sent me, you'll get $10 off.
Okay. And when is the actual webinar?
I have them set up for Wednesdays evenings at 7, I think it's 7 o'clock Eastern Time. I have some set up on Sundays. I have just a whole calendar you'll find on there, or you can go to my website, Lone Wolf Communications. Look me up, Lone Wolf Communications website, and there you'll also find calendars with it. I have them for musicians, too. So there'll be calendars there. Some are on the weekends, some are during the week.
Okay.
And
please check that out.
People.
And it'll be on my website, too, and on my blog on Friday. So I want to thank you, Jennifer, for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here because I'm such an admirer of yours. So thank you for having me.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.